Robinson Crusoe, written in words of one syllable by Mary Godolphin. Preface and First Section. The production of a book which is adapted to the use of the youngest readers needs but few words of excuse or apology. The nature of the work seems to be sufficiently explained by the title itself, and the author's task has been chiefly to reduce the ordinary language into words of one syllable. But although, as far as the subject matter is concerned, the book can lay no claims to originality, it is believed that the idea and scope of its construction are entirely novel, for the one-syllable literature of the present day furnishes little more than a few short, unconnected sentences, and those chiefly in spelling books. The deep interest which Defoe's story has never failed to arouse in the minds of the young induces the author to hope that it may be acceptable in its present form. It should be stated that exceptions to the rule of using words of one syllable exclusively have been made in the case of the proper names of the boy Shuri and of the man Friday, and in the titles of the illustrations that accompany this work. Robinson Crusoe in Words of One Syllable, Section 1. I was born at York on the 1st of March in the 6th year of the reign of King Charles the I. From the time when I was quite a young child, I had felt a great wish to spend my life at sea, and as I grew, so did this taste grow more and more strong, till, at last, I broke loose from my school and home, and found my way on foot to Hull, where I soon got a place on board a ship. When we had set sail but a few days, a squall of wind came on, and on the fifth night we sprang a leak. All hands were sent to the pumps, but we felt the ship groan in all her planks, and her beams quake from stem to stern, so that it was soon quite clear that there was no hope for her, and that all we could do was to save our lives. The first thing was to fire off guns, to show that we were in need of help, and at length a ship, which lay not far from us, sent a boat to our aid. But the sea was too rough for it to lie near our ship's side, so we threw out a rope, which the men in the boat caught and made fast, and by this means we all got in. Still, in so wild a sea, it was in vain to try to get on board the ship which had sent out the men, or to use our oars in the boat, and all we could do was to let it drive to shore. In the space of half an hour, our own ship struck on a rock and went down, and we saw her no more. We made but slow way to the land, which we caught sight of now, and then, when the boat rose to the top of some high wave, and there we saw men who ran in crowds to and fro, all bent on one thing, and that was to save us. At last, to our great joy, we got on shore, where we had the luck to meet with friends, who gave us the means to get back to Hull. And if I had now had the good sense to go home, it would have been well for me. The man whose ship had gone down said, with a grave look, "Young lad, you ought to go to sea no more. It is not the kind of life for you." "Why, sir, will you go to sea no more, then?"
"That is not the same kind of thing. I was bred to the sea, but you were not."